Thank you for the introduction. This is a joint work with Professor Nian Jian at the University of Louisiana. I will start with a brief introduction of the problem, followed by a quick review of the existing method. Next, we propose the new HARP design, its performance result, and finally, the conclusion. Packet classification essentially is a search problem that we want to perform some action on packet of type T from S to D and so on. It serves many purposes such as filtering, policy-based routing, billing accounting, guaranteed bandwidth, limiting rate, support for quality of services. In principle, any packet field can be used to specify a rule, but in this work, we want to compare other methods based on, on the same base, and therefore we only use the five most common use fields. They are the source destination IP address, the transport port numbers, and the protocol type. But bear in mind, the method presented in this work can be easily extended to include other fields, such as VLAN tag, TCP flag, and so on. Challenges. As many other networking problems, high speed, high throughput, low storage cost, support for incremental update of rules, be adaptive to changing environment. So let's take a look at some existing methods, see how they do in these areas. Decision tree-based method, perhaps the most popular way of study method these days. By using the M array decision tree, each node can have at most M children. By taking multiple cuts to multiple dimensions, we can quickly eliminate a rule for further inspection at each node. The cut means the number of splits we made to the rule set based on the value of the bit selected from each of the fields. For example, if we look at 1 bit each from field 1 and field 2, there are totally 4 possible combinations. So that essentially, they divide a rule set into 4 subset. It's really just a generalization of the binary search method, except that we make the tree wider and shallower. Hypercut is one representative method in this category. But unfortunately, this method can have a tree size explosion problem. The tree size is sensitive to the the selection of dimensions and the number of cuts made to each dimension during construction of the decision tree. It also affected by the number of wildcard rules. The more wildcard rules we have, the larger the tree size is. So in order to keep the storage or the tree size contained, we need to carefully select the so-called space factor, which limits the number of branches that a node can have. We also need to eliminate the so-called dead pointers, which point into the empty subtrees. So those pointers simply waste space. Another common, another refinement technique is to push the rules that hold true under all subtrees to the parent node. This will save storage, but unfortunately, it will increase the search time, because we must inspect or examine all these rules when we walk down the decision tree during lookup. Finally, because a rule can hold true under several branches, it's not economic to keep replicated copies of the rule. A practical implementation, normally they pack all these rules in consecutive memory locations, and the node only keeps an index to the array. By all these arrangements, their goal is to save storage. But unfortunately, make the incremental update very difficult if it's not impossible. Tuple space search is a hash table-based method. So a tuple is a vector of k integers. Each specifies the number of bits from each of the k fields that we use to form the hash key. For example, a two-dimension filter 3 and 4 means we use 3 bits from the destination IP, 4 bits from the SIP to form the hash key. In this way, for IPv4, they are totally 33 by 33 tuples. Okay. So challenges. First of all, we need to identify the tuple. When we receive a packet, we don't really know the number of bits we need from the address to form the hash key. And also, obviously, it's impractical to perform 33 by 33 hash probes for all possible length combinations. We can also have too many hash tables of different size to manage. So there are a number of optimization schemes being proposed to deal with these problems, but I think I'm going to skip them here, save time. If you wish, you know, we can carry a conversation offline. Instead, let's look at the practical implementation. In reality, the method is implemented by using two decision trees together with the hash table. A two decision tree is to help us identify the tuples. Input are the DIP and SIP. They produce two lists of the tuples. Then the cross product of the two lists will specify or indicate which hash table that we need to perform the hash probe. In summary, decision tree can have a size explosion problem, difficult to do incremental update. There are really no good ways to tune the setup for the best performance. Tuple space, use both decision tree and hash table, can have the same issue as decision tree. We can have too many hash probes, too many hash table, different size to manage. So by recognizing this problem, we propose the hub design. We happen to like the simple stuff. We mean to use the simple method and data structure to achieve parallel lookup for high performance, higher memory efficiency with less storage, and we want to support incremental update easily. It's a two-stage approach. The rules basically are broken into two parts. The first part contains the address pair. The second portion contains the rest of the field. In the first stage, we narrow the search scope by using a simple hash table that keeps the address pair. So either SIP or DIP can be used as the hash key. Once we have a match in the first stage, we continue on the second stage search. And in the second stage, we use a simple link list to keep the other field. So as you can see, the method and the data structure are indeed simple, and we're going to show that they are quite effective. In order to do prefix matching in the first stage on the address pair, as we mentioned before, the first thing we need to do is to decide the number of bits we need from the address to form the hash key. In this work, we basically select a few fixed lengths to form the DPL set. For example, we can pick 32, 28, 24, and so on. Then for a prefix P of length W, we basically round it down to the next thread in the DPL. For example, P23 is rounded down to P20, which is then used as the hash key. This is the same step we use during installation of the address pair and during lookup. So logically, each DPL define a hash table, but actually we can improve the table utilization by lumping all these individual tables into one table only. We can further improve the storage efficiency if we allow the element to migrate among the buckets within the hash table. This is achieved by taking advantage of the transitive property of prefixes. It means if P1 is a prefix of P2, and P2 is a prefix of P3, that means P1 is also a prefix of P3. So we can install P3 in any one of the hash bucket identified by P1, P2, or P3, as long as we search all of them during lookup. And that's what we do. That's why we define the DPL. We search, perform the hash probe based on the predetermined thread. So in summary, to add a rule, again, we use a DIP SIP, round it down to the next thread in the DPL. In the basic algorithm, we don't turn on the migration, but we can choose either SIP or DIP as a hash key. Then we choose the bucket, which is this loaded. In the enhanced algorithm, we turn on the migration. Then we can install the address pair in any one of the bucket identified by the shorter prefix. This effectively increases the capacity of the bucket. And because we allow the element to migrate among the bucket, it will improve the efficiency, also reduce the chance of overflow. During lookup, again, we use the DIP and SIP of the received packet. For every thread in a DPL, we perform the hash function, identify the bucket, perform the prefix match. If there is a success, we continue on for the other field. The diagram on the right shows that this method is naturally parallel. If your memory system has adequate bandwidth, you can launch all the hash probe at once. Next, let's look at some performance results. Our test suite includes three real filters. The firewall has 269 rules, access control list 752 rules, IP chain 1550. Large synthetic rules, 5,000 rules, 10,000, even 30,000 rules also generated accordingly to their characteristics by using the class bench tool from Washington University, St. Louis. This three diagrams shows the prefix length distribution. The x-axis is the DIP prefix length from 0 to 32. The y-axis is the SIP prefix length distribution. For firewall, 60% of the rule has at least one wirecard address. Because this large number of wirecard address, later on you will see the decision tree under firewall, under this firewall rule set, will grow rapidly. For access control list and IPC, the address is more explicit, especially for access control list. The weakness of the proposed hop scheme appears when both SIP and DIP are show prefix, because it may not give us enough opportunity to find even shorter prefix to identify hash bucket to enable migration. But this weakness, relatively speaking, can be easily overcome by adding more thread to the DPL, or we can borrow the same concept as the multi-hashing. You use multiple hash function to identify multiple buckets. Like many other methods, we can tune the design. For example, we can change the table size by a dilation factor. In theory, a larger table will have fewer overflows. We can also change the number of DPL thread. By adding more thread, it will give us better load distribution, but at the cost of more hash probes. We can also go the other direction by reducing the number of thread. It will reduce the number of hash probe we perform. But now, because the stride between the two threads are wider now, it means more prefix can be rounded down to the same thread. Eventually, maybe hash to the same bucket lead to some congestion. So there's always a trade-off. Finally, another option that we didn't explore in this work is that there's no reason to always use the same DPL for SIP and DIP. You can choose a different one fitting their characteristics for better performance. But we only choose to show the generic behavior here. First of all, let's look at the load distribution. For a constant table size, we provision each bucket with four elements. That means the overflow occurs when there are four elements mapped to the same bucket. We start with the basic hop scheme, size the table twice as large as necessary for all the rules, and the DPL has 8 threads. As this diagram shows here, that the basic scheme is effective already because using DIP and SIP it effectively increased the capacity of the bucket to 8. It's only 4% to 6% overflow that we are seeing. When we turn on the migration, it gives us the opportunity to cut down the number of thread in a DPL. Therefore, we reduce the number of hash probes. Not only that, we see that because of the migration, the overflow buckets drop to 2%. The advantage can be further demonstrated by cutting back the table size. We change the dilation factor to 1.5, and you can see the result is not changing dramatically. Finally, we aggressively cut down the number of thread in a DPL. Now we start seeing some busy set, but still the overflow cases contain those busy sets because the migration combined with the smaller table. In the second stage, linked list, 90% of them has less than 2 elements, 95% less than 5 elements. So it means that the linear search is actually found to be adequate. But if the pathological long linked list does show up, there's an easy way to handle them. For example, consider the 2D space defined by the port numbers, right? The source port and destination port number. is totally 2 to the 16 by 2 to the 16. It's a 2D space. And the source port range, destination port range, specified in the classification rule, they basically define a region within the 2D space. It's very easy that you can pick two yardstick values, partition the 2D space into four subspaces, such that the rule will fall into different spaces. So logically, we divide a long ASI list into four shorter lists. It's a very simple method. It's very easy to do. In terms of storage, HOP has the required list amount of memory. Okay. For firewall, you can see the decision tree grow really big, really large. Hypercar require about 40 to 100 times more memory than our method. For AC or IPC, the tree is still about 2 to 4 times, require 2 to 4 times more memory. Tuple space fall in between, it's about 2 times storage to 4 times. Next, we measure the execution performance on the Broadcom's multi-core SoC. It has a 4700 megahertz MIPS core. Each core is a four-way superscalar design, 32K byte non-blocking L1 cache. It also has a 1 megabyte share L2 cache. Recently, we run the same program on the more powerful systems, including AMD and Intel systems. We show the same result trend. We scale the execution time to HyperCard under to one core under hyper to HyperCard under one core, observing that the HOP design is about has about 3.5 to 5 times improvement. We also see almost linear speed up for 2 processor core and 4 processor core because the problem is inherently parallel. Tuple space outperform HyperCard for the ACL and IPC data set, but somehow underperform for the firewall rules. Reasons, look at the data footprint. HOP require the least average, they basically fetch the least average number of bytes. HyperCard, in the worst case, it touch most of the data. For the average case, under firewall, actually, tuple space touch more data or fetch more data than HyperCard. But the firewall always give us the trouble. To probe further, you can see that under firewall data set, the tree is the largest, has the largest number of nodes. We also noticed the large number of rules was pushed to the intermediate node. As we mentioned before, these rules must be examined when we walk down the tree during lookup. That's why they cost us such a long search time. For tuple space, again, firewall rules. This table shows the average number of SS tuple or the hash probes performed for each data set. Firewall, again, shows the largest number of hash probes. For HOP, if you look at the column for the dilation factor is 1.5, the smaller table. The third column is the number of prefix, the average number of prefix we checked during the search of each packet. Okay, it ranged from 10 to 34. But the average number of match or reported success is only between 1 or 2. Okay, so we don't probe the second stage linked list very often. And also because each AS, the linked list in the second stage is very short. That's why it's very efficient. So conclusion, we propose a new hash table-based design. It's a two-stage approach. And we basically showed that a simple method, you know, it works. Okay? So I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
So in addition to the improved memory usage that you showed, it seems like one of the benefits of your scheme is being able to do this incremental rule update. I was wondering if you could just elaborate a little bit more on sort of where where mm-hmm. sort of the usage model for packet classifiers and where this incremental update is valuable or important.
I see. Well, there's always a debate, and people say that the rule doesn't get changed very frequently. But the truth is that if, for example, some trusted platform, the system can join and leave the platform, you know, they can go on and off frequently. When they get on, you need to set up, you know, for example, your access control list in your switch or somewhere. When they get off, you take it off. So actually, the rule change, you know, is quite frequently than people believe. That's just one example, right? And this method does support incremental update easily because you can see all the effect, you know, all the changes is basically pretty much contained locally, right? You take your hash function, identify a bucket, you install the rule there, that's it. Decision tree, because all this optimization, sometimes means reconstruct, you know, reconstruction of the entire tree, right? There's a lot of data that we didn't show, and you know, it also shows the time to reconstruct the tree, take, you know, like 7-8 minutes. It's really long. In our case, it's some nanoseconds.
Okay. Can you run into some unfortunate sequences of rule installations so that hash table buckets are already used and you have to overflow, while as if it was installed in a different sequence, it would work better?
Yes, that's a very good question. Indeed, you know, in this method, actually, when we said rebalancing or migration, what we did is very, very simple stuff. You know, we basically just look at whatever we have at hand, we try to migrate if the bucket is busy. But if we try to identify all the candidates already existing in the bucket, see which one is the best candidate to migrate, we should be able to achieve even better result. But that basically is kind of like a like NP-complete problem or something. You know, you migrate to another bucket, you might bump off, you know, another from the other, you know, the target, I mean, the candidate bucket, right? So we don't do that, you know. So in this method, well, in this work, whatever we present here, it converges really, really fast, right? But already we can see that, you know, it's already very effective here. Right, thank you.